everybody. Welcome back for another episode of Random Chatter. This episode number 228, recorded on Sunday, June 30th, 2019. I'm here tonight with Lizzie. Lizzie, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Awesome. Yeah, this is our second go-around for the night, hoping we get the internet to cooperate again.
Yes, I'm I live in Florida, as you guys know, and we're experiencing a thunderstorm. And my grandmother's house is actually the oldest house in Winter Park. Yeah, 1800s is when it was built. So it's definitely got a lot of,
pre-internet.
Yes. Yes. Pre-internet. So they weren't thinking about the fact that they put a tin roof on.
Well, we're going to keep our fingers
crossed. And as my dad listens to this, he's going to correct it. He's going to text me when he listens to this and tell me that I'm wrong and whatever it's actually made of and when the house was actually built. That's what's going to happen.
wait, your dad listens to us?
He does religiously. He loves our podcast.
I gotta be careful then. I don't wanna upset your father.
Wow. I mean, He's never said that you've upset him before. So
okay, good.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
He's always hey, the new episode's not out yet. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, I'm behind episode record editing. I have one more to do for this one. I'll probably do both of them tomorrow night. Get these both out. So
nice.
I've been busy, but that's okay. It's just you and I tonight. Tim ditched us. He had a busy weekend and he was feeling just run down and everything. So he decided to take the night off, which means everything that happens wrong tonight is his fault. It's a good thing.
It is.
Even stuff that doesn't happen on the podcast, we can blame him for. You know, if your cat's not feeling well, you can blame Tim. You know,
I like this a lot. I mean, I'm totally pro blame Tim.
It's awesome. Yeah, hashtag blame Tim. That'd be who we're going to go for these days.
We're definitely blaming him for my internet.
Definitely. Definitely. And in fact, we had to start again. So, yeah. Those are two things we can blame him for. We didn't record on the show last week because we did the movie draft, which is out on the airwaves for you guys to listen to. And I think you have until the 5th, I think, to get your audience draft stuff in if you want to. So in the meantime, we have 2 weeks worth of what we watched, so we can see what you've been watching, Lizzie. What have you been up to?
So I've been watching Jane the Virgin, which I mentioned on our last podcast that I was catching up with it, or that it's one of the shows that I stay current with. That and The Handmaid's Tale are really the only two right now that I'm watching like regularly that are current and not now I'm binge watching it, but are the two that I'm current on. And so I was watching, it's the final season of Jane the Virgin on the CW. It's the 5th season final. And it just made me really nostalgic for the show. So I've gone back to the beginning and I've been like watching my favorite parts and just like sort of having a little, well, actually I went back to season 3.
Wait, you're jumping around, you're starting in the middle and coming back? That seems awkward.
Well, I went back to season 3, and then I got up current. And then I was like, you know what, I didn't go back far enough, so I went back to season 1.
That's because you're going to go to the beginning and start over again from the beginning. That's what they call it, the beginning.
I know, I didn't, well, no spoilers in case anybody wants to watch it ever. But there are two, it's like a love triangle, and Jane has like two love interests that you want her to be with both of them, and at different times she is. So I went back to watch the one love interest's storyline, and then I was like, well, now I need to watch both. So and then I'm not going to stop. I'll watch it all the way up again, so I'll watch all the episodes I already watched again. And I feel really good about it.
I don't think I've ever gone back and rewatched a show that I've already been watching while the show's still on. I mean, maybe after it's over.
No, I do that a lot.
But that's interesting.
Yeah, no. I was like, you know what? I have time before the new episode, and I can watch it before the new episode comes out.
Sure. Well, it makes sense, I guess, yeah. And you've been
in Lizzie's brain, it does.
Recently, or?
Yes, I have. I went to see the Avengers re-release.
Oh, that's right. That was this past weekend. Yep.
Yeah, I went to see it for a fourth time.
I did not get a chance to get out and see that.
I have to say, as I've said for the other three times, What the hell is wrong with people in the theater that they can't shut their mouth like they're in their living room?
I know. I asked
that. It happened again, Lou.
Did it really?
Oh. Yeah, I had to move. I got up and moved.
See, that's the problem in the theaters I go to now. It's all assigned seats, so you really can't get up and move.
No, you could. These were assigned seats too, but by the end of the theater, by like halfway through the movie, I knew where no one was sitting.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, this late in the run, I suppose, is not a full packed theater.
I mean, it was pretty full, to be very honest. It was pretty full, which I was like, yay.
Nice, but then, yeah. But it did pretty well this weekend.
Yeah, but then three separate groups of people around me started talking. And then I was like, literally, why is this happening to me?
Yeah, I get frustrated by that all the time. But yeah.
But how can it happen at all three times that I've seen Avengers? Does nobody care about watching this movie without gabbing all the way through it? Nobody.
Well, they're social. They're trying to be friendly with their friends. And
no, they're asking dumb questions.
Oh, no. Who's the guy in the metal suit? Who's the guy with the hammer?
It was Thor. It was Thor the first time. She was like, which Chris is that? I was like, I'll kill you right now, girl.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no, that's not a fun movie kids. Experience.
Yeah, this was like little kids. And the one kid was just talking to his mom because the mom was asking the kid questions. And the kid was like, no, mom, this and that and whatever. And I was like, how is this happening to me right now? You are right behind me. Shut up.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's not good.
I recorded a podcast last night with a Temple of Geek, which will be coming out, and I'll tell you guys about it in Discord and everything, because it was really fun. And we did it all about the Avengers re-release. And I said, like, the fact that this is the good. I'll focus on the good. The fact that I can still get so emotionally attached to it and so, like, have it still affect me so much and a fourth viewing. And each viewing has been that, like, I've just been so emotionally invested in. I've cried through all four of them. It just speaks to the power of the movie that it can overcome, like, the obstacles that the theaters have placed in front of me. Mm-hmm. So I'll say that is the good.
Well, it's good that it's that strong emotionally for you still. I mean, sometimes after the third or fourth viewing, you kind of come numb to some of the stuff, but no, that's great.
I didn't. I found brand new places to cry, shockingly.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm glad you're still emotional with it, but I can't say I'm going to join you in a cry for that, so.
That's okay. Well, this time it was weird because usually I get into the movie a little bit before the floodgates start. There's some certain tentpole moments that I know will get me, but like it's a little bit into it. So then this time, it was like right in the beginning after Hawkeye's scene with the family, but Tony's up there with Nebula and he's recording the message to Pepper. And then I realized that they're playing the funeral song over that whole scene in this really beautiful way. And I didn't notice it before because I hadn't listened to the soundtrack as much. But now that I know the themes better and I'm, you know, like it's imprinting on me more the more I watch it, I was like, that's the funeral theme.
I didn't realize that either, to tell you the truth.
Oh, it was just added a new like little level of beauty to it. And I just like started crying. I was like, we're only 5 minutes in. This doesn't bode well.
For a 3-hour movie.
It's going to be messy. Yeah. Yeah. And then
some pretty emotional parts right in the beginning. I mean, they didn't hold back. They hit you with the barrels right in the beginning. So.
Oh, like, and then when like Tony sees Cap and he's like, you weren't there. You said that we'd do that, you know, you said if we failed, we'd do that together too. And that part, I was like, oh my God. Like,
yeah, right.
It just gets me. I don't think that I walked out and I was like, is there ever going to be a time when I don't just lose it watching this film? I just don't know. So well, that's what I spent my time doing.
You'll be able to watch it home next time because end of July is when they're releasing it for home. No, you're going to
No. I'm going to go see it. I'm going to go see it one more time in the theaters. I'm going to look for the deadest theater in the middle of nowhere in with just one seed in its mind.
Go on like a Tuesday at like 12:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah. In the middle of nowhere. In like the most far remote theater.
You know, there were a couple of years when I had Tuesdays off and it was a theater near me that did the discount, you know, tickets on Tuesday. So I'd go to like the, you know, 12:30 or 1 o'clock showing of whatever I wanted to see. And it was great because there was nobody in the theater. I was like, this is awesome. It's like going and seeing
it's so great.
A big screen movie in your own living room. I was like, this is awesome.
It's best when no one's in the theater. So that is my goal because I need to see it once without the chatter and the having to move and having to put earplugs in and shushing people and like mentally burning people with my eyeballs.
Yes, you deserve that. You really do.
This is why I can't have superpowers, Lou, because I would use them to kill people.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that is true. Yeah, if we had superpowers, you think you want to use them for good, but then there's people that just piss you off and you're like, you know what? I'm just taking you out.
No, I know I would use them for bad, and that's why God will never gift me with with superpowers. That's the only reason I won't get any.
You heard it here first, folks. Let's see. Anything else you've been watching or... Yeah.
No, that's really been it.
Okay.
Just lots and lots of Jane the Virgin.
I have been to the theater myself. I did not see Avengers Endgame again, but I did get to see Toy Story 4. So the wife and I went to see that. We had a lot of fun. We made the mistake of going on opening weekend, like the early show, like 7 o'clock, forgetting it was a kids movie and going, oh my God, there's so many kids here.
Retro.
I know. My bad. But yeah, hey, it was good. It was a fun movie. I enjoyed it more than Toy Story 3. It was definitely a fun ride and a nice arc for some of the characters, which is pretty cool.
Nice. I haven't seen it yet.
I am catching up on season 2 of Stranger Things, preparing for season 3 coming out this weekend, right? July 4th?
On the 4th, yeah, which is Wednesday.
Wednesday, got to hurry up. So I'm almost done with that one. I caught up a bunch of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes over the weekend. I was behind on that a little bit. And I started listening to another audiobook from Douglas E. Richards. He's got a new book out called Veracity. It came out in July, I think it is. He's a tech thriller writer, kind of like Michael Crichton, but a little bit different bent on some of the stuff he's done. But this is a book about the guy develops technology to make a perfect lie detector and basically would end lying in the entire world, which is an interesting concept to think about.
Oh, interesting.
So, but it's a good thriller. About halfway through, it's pretty good.
Cool.
Let's see. Box office update. This past weekend, we had Toy Story 4 in its second weekend ruled the box office again, made $57.9 million for a total of $236. Annabelle Comes Home in its first week, took second place with $20.3 million. Yesterday, brought $17 million in its first week. Aladdin came back up from, I think, a little further down in the list to be fourth place with $9.3 million for a total of $305. And Secret Life of Pets 2 bumped up again back into the top five with $7 million for a total of $131. And we should also note that you know, we had talked a few weeks back about whether or not Toy Story 4 was going to break $200 million in his opening weekend, and it did not. So I was definitely wrong. I'll own up to that and say, yep, I thought maybe it would do it, but it wasn't even close. It was like 118 or something like that for its first week. But I can admit when I'm wrong, so I will.
I mean, I think the odds were in its favor, so it wouldn't have been crazy to think that it could have done it.
Yeah, and you know, people were speculating that it would be like around 150. That was a more common thought, but it didn't even do that. So surprised it did as low as first weekend, but the reception has been really good, comparatively. I think it's gotten much better reviews than Toy Story 3 did.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think Disney movies have always done well, but I think we're in a time when Disney and social media have like completely hit each other in this like juggernaut sort of way that it's creating like, I don't know, it's a different thing now, you know? So I think the assumption is correct. So it's the fact that it didn't was surprising, I think.
Yeah, that's true. We talked about Avengers Endgame a few minutes ago, and it was in its re-release trying for its push to knock off Avatar at the top of the global rankings. It didn't do it. It's coming close, but I'm not sure where it's going to get to or how long the re-release will be in the theaters for. Because they re-released it last weekend with what, a couple new scenes?
Well, they just Friday. Scenes. Not last weekend, just Friday.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
So,
but it was what? It was an end.
It's only been out for 3 days.
And it was a preview of.
So it's not worth it. Sorry. I'll tell you right now.
Wow, okay.
I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't want to spoil it. Okay, and good. I think that you still have to decide for yourself because I'm going to see it one more time, which means I could see I can see those end credit scenes if I want to stay. So see it again because it's a wonderful movie and the big theater experience means something. And if you are really curious about what is afterwards, stay and see. But if you really want to know, message me on Instagram and I will tell you. That it isn't really worth staying. And here's what's disappointing about it is that, not a spoiler, but I think that diehard fans are a lot of diehard fans are going to go like Friday, Saturday, Sunday and report back to people who are waiting to see how the chips fall about whether it's worth it or not. And right. That's not going to give them the bump that they were hoping for. Because a lot of people are going to be deterred from seeing it because it's really disappointing as far as content goes. And that's what's a little sad to me. I thought they could have, I thought knowing Marvel and how they know us, this was surprising. So surprising that it was what it was. I was like, really? Wow, hearing how long, like the fact that it was 3.5 hours and they had to cut so much and this is what they went with, I was like, oh.
Okay, yeah, it's too bad when you think about it that way.
I was like, they could have done so many other things that would have been a real big payoff instead of a pander. Right. It was pandering 100%. And you know what? Instead, just say, go see it before Far From Home and let's kick Avatar's butt because we all would have gone and see it. We care about that. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think fans do. It's close. So it's beat Avatar domestically, but worldwide, Avatar's at $2.788 billion and Endgame is at $2.761 billion. So it's, you know.
Well, but if you do the math for it, because Avatar was in the theaters for like something crazy, like 34 weeks or something dumb.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they had a re-release run. So between those two things, if Endgame had what Avatar had, the length in the theaters, plus a re-release later, you know, plus the 3D boost. So it's not adjusted for ticket sales. So like, the math is all there, but like, just say what it is. Say that it's trying to beat the record. Don't be like, we want to give back to the fans and then give us what they gave us. I was like, shut up. You're just being rude.
Exactly.
So anyways, I don't want to tell you what it is. Tough. Decide for yourselves. It's worth seeing multiple times in the theaters, regardless of the end credit scenes.
Yeah. But I will say in the theater, and I think it does deserve to be seen at least a second time. I'm hoping to get out and see it.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know.
There's nothing like that.
Yeah, I know.
I know you know. Yeah. There's just nothing like the big screen viewing. But if you're going specifically to see the end credit scenes and you're paying $12 to see that, don't. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, that's good advice.
Yeah.
I want to scare people. This coming week in the theater, we have Spider-Man Far From Home. Yay! Toy Story.
Nope,
Toy
well, Story like 4 in two days.
It should be ripped out of here. That's right. I know a couple of days will be in the theater. I think it starts like Wednesday, on Tuesday. Right? Tuesday because the holiday is on Thursday.
The second,
because
they bumped it up.
They did, yep.
Yeah,
yep.
They bumped it up to Tuesday because
Child's
of.
Child's Play are both coming out this weekend. And the rest of July, there's not a lot of big things coming out, but a couple of big names I think we'll point out here. Stuber is coming out, Crawl, The Lion King, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So Lion King.
What the heck are Stuber and Crawl?
Stuber is who's it? It's I'm drawing a blank. Dave Bautista from Guardians. He is playing a cop and he picks up.
Well, it doesn't sound like a real word.
To get him somewhere for a crime, or to catch a bad guy. I guess it looks funny. It's a comedy, so it should be interesting.
Oh, okay. I was like, how do they get to the word
Crawl,
Stuber
which is
from Uber?
The horror movie with the alligators in Florida, I think. So
that's
right up your alley.
Nope. No, no. No scary movies. You know that.
And of course, Lion King, you know, that'll be the big one for July. But then Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is the Quentin Tarantino movie, which I'm a little bit curious about.
Oh, I'm into it. You know, I love my Quentin. I love Tarantino movies. Give it to me. Give it to me.
It's so different from his other stuff, though. So I don't know.
It does, but it makes me want to see it more.
For the spring movie draft, Tim is now, well, you say he's the winner. I didn't update the numbers, but he did pass Fred. I don't know who's winning the audience draft right now because I did not do the numbers for this week, but we'll have that for you next week. And if you want to get involved in that, randomchatter.com/moviedraft for the latest episode of that. And participate in the audience draft as well. And if you like doing that kind of stuff, Fantasy Movie League, we have our own league for that. It's randomchatter.com/FML invite to get an invite to that. And we're having a lot of fun there. I'm having more fun than Tim this week because I got the perfect cinema. So, yeah. we'll see where Tim runs. He's way down the list this week, but we'll see. Let's see. Discussions this week. Lizzie, I included this story basically just for you because we're both fans of Star Trek. We're both fans of, we think we're fans of, but this new Star Trek Picard series coming out. So Michael Chabon will be the showrunner for that. He wrote John Carter. He was also a writer on Spider-Man 2. Yeah, so I think this is good. And he's a big fan, too. And some of the tweets he's had out there just say that he's a huge fan. This is his dream job. So it's kind of like JJ making Star Wars. This is now Michael Chabon doing Star Trek Picard.
I kind of love that a lot. And this is really tempting me to buy into CBS streaming.
Because me too.
I love me some Jean-Luc. He's my favorite.
And they've been keeping so much of the story kind of in under wraps.
The trailer got me. I don't need to know what it's about.
Yeah. Well, this article did say it's him, you know, after The Next Generation and how his life has turned and changed. But they're still going to say, but it's still Picard, you know. So I'm like, I can't wait.
And it's after the movies, you know, because there were, you know, five next gen movies.
Five sounds more right.
Ten Star Trek movies, period. So yeah. Five of them would have been TNG, five of them would have been OG. So. Or I think 11, because Nemesis was 11. So Genesis, First Contact, the one nobody cares about. And then Nemesis, which I really like because I loved Tom Hardy. It's not great, but I liked it a lot. So A lot of people probably don't care about it, but I loved it.
That was good.
But yeah, I mean, First Contact and Generations is the other one. So good.
Oh, Generations was awesome.
It's so good. And I think First Contact is really good. I always loved the Borg. They were like my favorite villain from Star Trek because they're so terrifying.
They are, yeah. And that was a good movie. And you're right. That, you know, a lot of those movies are good for different reasons, but it just started feeling, I don't know, they didn't really pull it off as well as I thought they could have for the movies. I mean, I loved the series, but the movies just seemed a little bit, I don't know, didn't translate well to the big screen for me.
So I think only Generations and First Contact did it right. I think their strong story that kept the camaraderie of the crew and the integrity of what they were trying to do with the series itself. The other two are like, as much as I love Nemesis, I recognize that as far as a Star Trek movie, it really doesn't hold up. But I did love it a lot. I don't know if they're going to incorporate, if it's after the movies, or are they just taking it from the series end?
I thought it was after the series, but I don't know how far after the series. So, I mean, I imagine it's after he is no longer Captain of the Enterprise. So that makes sense. That'd be after the movies, too.
Right. Gosh, that's a good finale. With the far point, you know, like the whole, the three timelines thing, and that they return to the premiere. Yeah. Oh, that's a great finale. Just side note.
definitely.
Because in the trailer, it's him in the field, sort of from what you see in that finale, in France,
yep, in the vineyard.
So that's in the vineyard. So that makes me think it's a little bit linked more to the series and sort of dismissing the movies. Although you could easily have them be part of it because if he's so much older, then all of that happens still.
Right, and I think I think in the movies it's still part of the same timeline as the series because it's just it was a a movie with him doing the same thing he was doing. To me, after that is when he's no longer the captain of the Enterprise.
I guess the only thing I would wonder is because Data dies in Nemesis, essentially, and B4 is like his brother, his other brother, and he takes over as the new Data, sort of. But I don't know if they're going to have any other series cast members.
Yeah, I don't know. They haven't announced. I mean, I imagine we'll see a cameo here and there, but I don't expect to see any returning characters.
I can't imagine it without a cameo. Yeah. I can't imagine them trying some cameos. Well, because isn't Jonathan Frakes part of it too? Isn't he directing some episodes or something? Did I see that or make it up?
I think he's a director. Directing, yeah, but I don't think he's going to be in any of them.
Yeah.
Unless it's like
no, but I mean, he's a part of the project.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'll make sense he'd be on screen at some point.
It just would make sense.
They were together for a long
time. I'm jazzed for it. Yeah. And he's so wonderful.
Oh, he is.
Their chemistry is always so good. Yeah.
Okay. Next story up, we have Paul Rudd joining the cast of Ghostbusters 2020. I put this in for Tim, but Tim's not here because I know Tim's a huge Ant-Man fan.
He loves Ant-Man. He only loves Ant-Man.
He just doesn't want to admit it.
Hashtag facts.
No, I think we have a title for the new Ghostbusters movie is Ghostbusters 2020. Very imaginative title.
Is that a title? Is that a title? Or is that just a date?
No, it's what they said. It is the title now.
Okay. Here's the thing.
Somebody thought long and hard about that one.
I would love a great
money for that.
Yeah, you guys, what if we name it after the year it comes out in? Ah!
Especially when you have a delay now, it's going to be in 2021 or something.
Oh my God, please let it come out in 2022, because that would just be great. Ghostbusters 2020, coming out July 2022.
Well, it's like we were recording, I think it was the trailer show we do on Friday mornings. And Tim had messed up and said 17 bridges instead of 21 bridges for the new movie coming out with Chadwick Boseman. And he defended himself by saying, no, the original name of the movie was 17 Bridges. So we had this big long discussion about that. We're like, wait a minute. So some intern, they said, hey, you, find out how many bridges are coming in and out of Manhattan so we can name this movie that. And they did the math wrong. And said it was 17 Bridges. So all the promotional stuff, they had movie posters made and everything. And all of a sudden somebody went, it's 21 bridges, not 17. And I'm sure that intern's going, oh, damn it.
How is that a real story? That sounds like the dumbest thing that's ever happened.
Well, we made up the problem with the intern, but that was the thing. They originally named it 17 Bridges. And that's where Tim was reading for something. But the movie is now called 21.
Were they just going to forget a couple?
I guess. So we did the math wrong. So we didn't count right. And we're like, what? How did they get that wrong?
I mean, oh, by the way, they don't have to literally.
17.
But they don't have to drive to all of the bridges and count individually. You can just Google that thing.
You should be able to. Yeah. In fact, I did afterward. Look, it says right here from 2008. Somebody's website said, ooh, 21 bridges.
Yes. Oh. If it's Googleable, you have no, like, you can't defend that, man.
I don't know.
That's weird.
It's not like they just all of a sudden, oh my God, we forgot these two over here.
Yeah. But the thing about Ghostbusters to me is that, like, now this one's actually in the timeline with the characters intact. So the girl one was just what?
I don't
girl
know.
Girl Ghostbusters
it feels
was what?
Like they're trying to just ignore the girl one and just forget about it ever happening.
Right.
Which I mean, you made it. It is what it is. I didn't want to go see it. I didn't see it. But, you know, it's still there. You can't just forget about it.
But the whole, like, the lengths they went to defend the move, it's not just putting girls as Ghostbusters. There's a story. It's worth telling. All the, like, sorry, stuff. Right. No, now you're telling us that it wasn't, that you did just want to try to make girl Ghostbusters. And you know what? There are parts of it that are very funny. And I really like all the actresses that are in it. What I didn't like was that they completely ignored putting them in the timeline of actual Ghostbusters. I don't like that at all. Don't do that. Mm. Put them in the real timeline. Now this is completely negating making that movie at all.
I didn't want to go see it because it didn't look as good as the original, and I didn't like the way they were trying to just remake it as female Ghostbusters and not make it part of the story. So I had an issue with that. But like, yeah, I mean, and now I don't know if I want to see this one either. I mean, like, it seems like they're just grasping at straws now. It's like, well, you've already screwed yourselves up there with this thing. So I don't know.
Right. It just seems so weird. And as much as I love Paul Rudd, like, okay. I just was like, whatever, Ghostbusters, get your stuff together. Yeah, it doesn't
sound like he's got a big role. It said he was a teacher. I'm like, okay, well, he's not a Ghostbuster or anything, so that's kind of weird. But,
what are they talking about? But also, yeah, the idea that they had to disavow the original timeline so then all these four women could be Ghostbusters, rather than saying, in the timeline somehow, these four women could still be Ghostbusters. Why isn't that a thing? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, just recruit them. Have a female team. I had no problem with that. I mean,
like you know what? Here it is. I just wrote the script in my head. The daughter of one of the original Ghostbusters wants to get a team of girls together to be the new Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
she goes out and recruits a team herself specifically because she's like, you know what? It was all boys. Why is it all boys? Let's be girls. Done.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah, I just fixed it. Fixed it. Call me.
Well, we'll have to wait till 2020 to see what happens with that. So,
yeah.
We have another story here. Now, are you going to San Diego this year? I thought I heard you say something about you trying to go to San Diego a while ago for Comic-Con.
I am going. I just got my badge in the mail.
You are awesome. Okay, good. So you are going. So you know who's not going?
I will be there as press. I know.
Sony's not going. I don't get it. Warner Brothers isn't going. Universal Pictures isn't going. I don't understand why these people are backing out and not wanting to do something.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean,
it's gotten so out of control from what I know of it. It's like insane. And you either have to come with every shiny ball you have in your bag and show it all in order to make a splash, or you don't get, there's no hashtag for you. Nothing is memorable from you, you know? So you either have to be Star Wars or Marvel or you're nobody. And that seems ridiculous to me because one of my favorite things about cons are these little small panels like the music of Star Trek, that panel, or like, you know, whatever small niche panels that you could go to for your favorite fandom and not have to like camp out for an entire day and miss every other panel because you wanted to go to the Marvel panel. Like, to me, that is not what it's about.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on what you're going for in how you want to experience a con. Because, I mean, I've experienced the same thing in New York, the same aspect where it's just so insanely crowded.
And, see, it used to not be that way.
Right. But, you know, there's still a lot of stuff you can go to and see that is not the big, you know, wait in line for 4 hours to get in type panel. And I think that's the difference between the stuff that you want as a movie studio or a producer, one to get out and be part of the headline or part of the discussion versus let's do something for the fans that the fans are going to enjoy and see and not worry about making a big splash. So I guess there's two different ways to look at it from both the fangoer perspective and from the exhibitor perspective, right? Because if you don't make a big splash and you're trying to do your own movie, well, then you just lost a lot of money or you just wasted a lot of money on marketing and didn't get recovered.
Right. I think that just doing the big splash to get the hashtag going or get the word out is missing the point or missing an opportunity maybe that these studios could be running these amazing small niche panels, you know, that maybe are competing as far as time slots, but are like, I really love whatever, so I'm going to go to that and not the other. And really like, I don't know, have it be for a con is for the fans. This is an opportunity to bring content to the fans, show them, premiere your episode, premiere your trailer, show them a teaser, talk to them about behind the scenes, share the process of how you made it. That's what it is to me. And so when it gets so big that it's not anymore because the fans right. are one gigantic audience of faceless people. That's, I don't know. I'm going, so I'll see.
Right. But like, and yet the big panel still have that big draw and still feel, if you're in that room, it still feels amazing.
Of course.
You know, if you're a fan of that big panel, you know. But
I mean, I will be at the Marvel panel in Hall H for sure. I mean, well, number one, I'm covering for the Marvel Report with the crew from right. from that site. So like, that's what we're there for. But like, honestly, I skip when I go to cons. Usually I will skip big panels because I'm like, no, I want to, I like when I was in the Luke Cage panel, it wasn't packed. I was in the second row. It's just like, I don't know, those opportunities to, I don't know, feel seen in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that in Hall H. You never get that in Hall H.
No, no.
So it, I get it.
It's just like a celebration. You know, the big panels that were in the Wind Trust Center, I didn't get into any of them because I didn't win the lottery. And I had right. fun that's... going to other smaller stuff. I mean, you know, that's a little different because it's all Star Wars and you're a fan of everything that's there. But,
right.
you know, you don't have to see the big panels just to be happy with it. And plus, the big panels are streamed. You can see them afterward. They're on YouTube. So you can get that content.
I think, I wonder what the opting out, though, there has to be a reason why they're not seeing it as worth going, especially Sony's not going when they just have Spider-Man out 2 weeks before that.
Right, right. Well, you know, I mean, I wonder what the cost is for them, too. I mean, typically conventions, whether it's a fan-type comic convention or just a business convention or what have you, you know, space at these conventions is insanely expensive.
Right.
Setting up a booth, and this bringing is a booth, convention. Manning the booth, staffing it with people. You know, I mean, that is all expensive at a general convention, let alone at a Comic-Con where now you got to bring in your actors and so forth. And I'm sure you're paying them. I'm sure it's part of their contract. But, you know, it's a logistical nightmare, I would think, for these guys to do that kind of stuff. And if you don't have the right thing to show off, maybe it's not worth doing it, spending all that money for that.
Well, so they are they just pulling out as far as like panels are concerned, or are they not even making a showing of the exhibit hall? That seems weird to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I imagine they're in the exhibit hall. I imagine if they weren't there, we would know that a long time in advance of this.
Yeah.
But I would have thought about the panel thing too. If they had a panel scheduled, that's something that they'd be like the last minute, you know, here we are a month away going, yeah, we should probably plan for that panel we're doing. No, I'm sure they had that planned out. So, you know, this is becoming news now, but you know, what does that mean for them? Are they not there at all?
There's no way I can picture. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say, I think it's strange that they didn't have a presence on the show floor.
Yeah, there's no way they don't have a presence on the show floor. That would be insane.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
That wouldn't make any sense at all. Like that's unless you know what would be more interesting is because like Nerd HQ wasn't a part of San Diego Comic-Con back in the day when it was happening at all. They had their own location. So it would sort of be interesting to have a little competition as far as the town erupts into nerddom. Like the entirety of San Diego just erupts. So make a showing outside of the con. Actually, when I went in 2013, a lot of places, a lot of like fandom stuff were like there were mobile stations and buses and stuff, and you'd do like walkthroughs and whatever, right. And that was all outside of the con because I didn't go to the con. So
yep.
Then you sort of have an opportunity to distinguish yourself and hit an audience that maybe isn't going to the con.
Right. Even in New York, it's the same way. You see people outside the con with signs up, passing out flyers and pamphlets that, oh, we're doing this over at this facility, or we're doing this here. It's not part of the con, but you know, come see our stuff.
It's a little tougher in New York because I went to New York Comic Con, I think, 5 years when I lived there. And because of the way New York is made, it doesn't feel like you're in a town that's doing the same thing.
No.
But San Diego feels right. like the entire town got a shot of nerd adrenaline and it's all on crack. Whereas New York, it's like...
I've never been out to San Diego, but you're absolutely right. It'd be hard for one thing like Comic Con to take over the entire city because there's so much going on in New York.
Yeah. It's like, go come find us at this pub in 9th Street and you're like, all right, like later because I'm here. But say, you could leave the con and go back and walk, you know, a little bit. That's how I felt.
Right.
In San Diego. So from that perspective, you've got an opportunity. You know, there's a lot of restaurants and pubs and nightclubs and locations that are like, let's do this thing.
Well, you can be our reporter on the ground and give us some stuff after the con.
I will. I can do stuff while I'm at the con. I can multitask.
There we go. Instagram. that's your place to be.
That's my home.
Okay. Reboots, remakes, and sequels. Did you have a chance to see the Charlie's Angels trailer?
Excuse me. I need it right now. I'm so excited. It looks good.
I'm glad to hear, because you know, I did like the trailer. We talked about this on Trailer Breakdown last weekend, and I did like the trailer, but it didn't feel like Charlie's Angels to me.
They'll get there. I don't care. I loved it. It doesn't even matter. Like, did the Cameron Diaz one feel like Charlie's Angels to you?
No, but this feels like the third iteration of Charlie, because we had the TV show. And then we had the Cameron Diaz one, which was totally different and bizarre and off the wall, but it fit with that time. You know, that was the kind of movies we made back then, so it's fine. And this one here feels like a cross between James Bond and Kingsman. It didn't have a very Charlie's Angels vibe to me, but it looked good.
Well, I think what you're – because if the Cameron Diaz one didn't have a Charlie's Angels vibe either, then the Charlie's Angels vibe is the 60s or the 70s. And that's the vibe. And that – unless you're going to try to do a campy nostalgia piece, and I don't think that's what they're going for. I think they're going for the actual – like, what are the Charlie's Angels?
Right.
But back then
– even the 70s – that was – go ahead.
I was going to say, in the 70s – what they did was action-packed for the time period that these women were, like, going out and kicking butt and, like, you know, basically doing all of these jobs for Charlie. Right. I feel like in the time period it made sense as far as, like, being the James – because look at James Bond in the 70s. It's incredibly campy. I feel it's a little bit matched.
It was. Yeah, you're right.
So to pull it forward into our time – you'd want to have it be equal to a James Bond in that way, that it wouldn't really be campy now. Mm. And, you know,
saying it that way, I get it. You've won me over a little bit, because you're right. The action-oriented thing is like today's action versus 70s action, which totally makes sense. Today is just a lot more in-your-face action, which is great. But the part that took me out of it was the whole part where they're looking in the closet for, you know, getting their gearing up. And I'm like, that's a James Bond thing. It's like, you know, they didn't do that in Charlie's Angels back in the 70s.
Well, yeah, but I think this is 100.
They were stealing that part. I was like, oh, it's kind of a ripoff. But no, you're right about the action thing. I think that may help me think about this differently. But it looks really good. It looks like an excellent movie. I got to come to terms with how they're portraying the angels versus how they were before.
Well, I think you also have to come to grips with the portrayal of the angels in the 70s was very much like hot pants and boobs and hair. And I think they're really trying not to play on that trope of women being that.
Right. And I'm not saying they should.
Okay, we can kick butt.
Yeah,
but, I'm not saying you're saying that, but.
Yeah, I'm just saying that it's just a different way of how they're. I guess I'd like to see the same kind of interaction between Charlie and Bosley and the angels. As far as how they run the organization, it just seems like they're making changes to that, I guess.
Mm. Interesting. I mean, I love that Elizabeth Banks is Bosley. I think that's a great move.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
Isn't Patrick Stewart?
Patrick Stewart said, Charlie? I saw him in the trailer. Yep, he's it. He's Charlie. He's in the movie, though.
Oh, okay. I thought he said something angels, and I thought, oh, maybe he's Charlie. But we never see Charlie, right? That's the whole point.
We never see Charlie, so you wouldn't see him in the trailer. I'd be happy if it was even just him as the voice being Charlie. I think it'd be a great voice for Charlie. But
the fact that you see him, you're right, because we don't ever see Charlie. I can't wait.
And if they show Charlie, I'll be really mad about that.
Oh, that would be against the storytelling of Charlie's Angels. I don't mind you bringing it forward, but you do have to preserve some certain storytelling aspects. But I was literally at Epcot about to meet friends, and I was just like uploading to Instagram or whatever. And then I was like, what? And I had to like pull over and sit down and watch it. And then I got like so excited.
Yeah, when I dropped last week, I wasn't expecting, like, oh my God, let's watch this now. So that's cool.
Yeah, I wasn't either. That's why, I mean, in the middle of Disney, I was like, what can bring me out of Disney but Charlie's Angels?
Charlie's Angels.
I'm pumped.
See, did you ever play the games Myst? Any of the Myst games? I guess.
No, but I've heard of it. No, I've heard of it, but no.
Okay, so I played a little bit of the first one. I didn't really finish it and got frustrated with it. But yeah, it was a very detailed game series. I guess there's been 10 games. There's been numerous novels, and now there's a possibility it's coming to film and TV.
Oh,
which I mean, there's so much story there. That I think it'd be great to be able to develop either a movie and or a series or a combination. Bill Drocho Entertainment Group has now acquired the rights to it, I guess, and they are developing or working on developing a series of films and TV shows about the franchise. So anybody who's a big Myst fan, I think this is a really ripe opportunity to get some good content.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
Well, it's been,
but yay.
I mean, it's the story itself spans, a whole host of times because it takes place in different eras and different times. It's just very intriguing, very mystery-esque. So, I think they have a lot of ground they can cover in. Hopefully, keep a good series going.
Cool.
Let's see. Did you watch Breaking Bad? Right.
Oh my God, I'm so excited about this.
So there's been talk about the Breaking Bad movie for a while, right? And Aaron Paul has been on board with that. It's going to take place and continue on Jesse Pinkman's story in the movie. And I guess the other day, last week sometime, Aaron Paul and Bryan Cranston tweeted the same picture at the exact same time with the same caption saying soon.
I guess my question is, what's Bryan Cranston doing in it?
Yeah, I know. I mean, well, he's not dead, right? I mean, he was bleeding, but he wasn't dead.
I mean, the assumption is that he pretty dead.
Yeah, but he didn't die. I mean, we didn't see that on screen, so who knows?
I don't. But here's the funny thing: because
the picture they tweeted was like hyped. Two donkeys.
Oh, that's funny.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that, like, that finale to me is one of the most well-done, perfect finales. Like, And when something is done so well in that level, I get nervous when they're like, let's revisit it and ruin what you've done.
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, I don't think we need a movie. Will I watch it? Sure, because I like the series. But you're right.
I adore Aaron Paul. Well enough alone. Yeah, so... While I'm hyped because I love the show so much, I think that is one show that from beginning to end has no lulls, is completely like the story is intact from A to Z, and it just keeps you going. There was not a lull for me in the entire five seasons, I think, of Breaking Bad.
Yep. I mean, there were a few
very few shows I feel that way about.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few lulls that kept you not quite as intrigued, but never once that I go, I got to watch another episode. It was never like that. Some shows, you know, you get like the fourth or fifth season, you're like, oh, okay, I got to watch another episode. And then it picks up at the end, you're happy. But this didn't have that. I mean, there was some times where it wasn't as fast-paced as the rest of it, but you never got done with an episode thinking, okay, they didn't give me anything in that hour at all that I can sink my teeth into. It was all just, you know, fluff. But no, this is a good series. Hopefully the movie will be just so good. I mean, I don't see.
Yeah, I have high hopes for it. Like, I got excited seeing the, you know, seeing the bullet point because I just love Breaking Bad so much. So, I'll watch it. I just get nervous of like, please don't ruin what I love so much.
Right.
There's so few shows I feel like did it so well from beginning to end, and they're just one of them. You know.
Now, you may have covered this, or you might be covering this in Guardians of the MCU, but I figured we'd bring it up here just the same. There was an interview with Mashable and Kevin Feige about the MCU and about TV shows on Disney Plus and how they're going to interact. Did you get a chance to read this, or have you guys covered this?
I mean, I don't think that we covered this exact quote, but we've just been talking about that as conjecture, that, or not conjecture, but okay. like it has to.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we all had that same hope of how the movies and the TV stuff is going to interact between MCU stuff on screen and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff on ABC. And we never really had that interaction. I mean, stuff that happened in the movies affected the show, but stuff that happened in the show never really made it back to the screen. And we were hoping
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, we were always been hoping for much more interaction between that and wanted to see maybe some people from the movies come and portray stuff on the small screen and vice versa. But we never really seemed to get that. And now they're saying this is going to be what's going to happen with Disney Plus. You're going to have stuff on those shows that'll lead into stuff in the movies and vice versa, which I think is just fantastic.
Well, and I think it's, like you said, it's what they wanted with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I think it's even what they really wanted with the Netflix shows, and it just didn't work out. I think that was the intention from the beginning. The fact that Defenders, like, fizzled so quickly after it landed and they sort of scrapped any plan to continue, that was, like, just really disappointing to me from those shows, which I really like overall. I do see this as their opportunity to sort of pay off that idea. And, I mean, the fact that so many of the characters have shows coming out on it, it's sort of obviously out there for us to infer.
Right. I mean, the Netflix stuff I never really saw the connection for that, because it was the same world, but not quite, you know. Whereas Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I thought that was perfect. That should have been what we wanted. But we never got that interaction.
Yeah, but I think they both had an opportunity to be more, and they both mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. I think the Netflix series completely could have had an opportunity to make a transition. I just don't think that they pulled the cord on that one.
Right, but they never really tried with Netflix, all right? I mean, there was never
Yeah.
Whereas Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there was some direct connections they could have done, but just never ran with.
I mean, they did run with it in season one when the Winter Soldier timeline hit them. That was the most impactful thing, and it made that show awesome. And right. I think that was when you really saw the power of what it could be if they were going to have the movie verse impact the show. And that was it playing out. I mean, that was, because it's called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it had to. So the fact that they dropped the ball so deeply that they didn't even care about dealing with the Endgame timeline in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is like, well, okay, I get it that you diverged a long time ago, but this is your chance to bring it back to this.
Right. I mean, it's a pretty big thing that should have been there. I mean,
Yeah.
Not even at all.
So I get it that, like, I think that this is their chance to do what they wanted. Well, and the fact of the matter is that Kevin Feige didn't oversee the Netflix or the ABC series. He didn't oversee the TV division, so he didn't necessarily have that cohesive, you know, vision happening in those branches. Whereas I think he has a lot to do with this. I think he's got direct connections with what goes on. You know, he's sort of the showrunner here as far as the greater Marvel universe.
Yeah, he's kind of the guy, right.
Which begs the question, why would they not put Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Netflix, you know, shows in his hands as well, as far as little branches coming out from the greater MCU and keeping that connective tissue, which is something he could accomplish?
You would think. I mean, that would be, people that aren't involved in the industry, you would think that. Maybe there were some connections they couldn't get done because TV and movies are typically different in the way they're handled, the way contracts are written and everything else. But I think going forward now with stuff on Disney Plus versus on network television, they have much more control. Because even though Disney owns ABC, it's not the same as Disney owning Disney Plus.
Right. It's direct. You know, so. Yeah, I think you're right. And I think what's disappointing about that is that, like, all the extenuating factors of business would get in the way of storytelling to me, because I don't give a crap about the business part of it. Like, whatever, make your deal work, because we want to see the thing.
Yeah, I want you to make your money, but just let us see what we want to see. I don't care what you have to do.
Yeah.
You know, make the deal happen. You guys shake hands and make up and kiss and make better and just get this on the screen for us.
Yeah, like I will literally give you all my money and I don't care about what your dumb business deal is. Fix it. Like that's what's so satisfying about Sony's deal with Marvel with Spider-Man, because it's like they got over it and figured out a way to both bank off of it and we're all happy and they're happy. The end.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But that is a prime example of making a deal work to make the fans happy and put money in both their pockets. I mean, no one's saying they can't make money. They should. That's what they have to do to give us all the money we want to see. Right.
Every single person that's going to see the re-release is totally fine with them making money because
you're right.
There's really no other reason other than loving the movie. But so it's not begrudging the money. It's prime example of being able to tell really good stories with this sort of deal involved. It's not like you're sacrificing the story to make a deal to pander to fans. It's you're bringing a really powerful story through the deal to make it available to us. I mean, Spider-Man Homecoming and what I've heard from Far From Home is really strong as far as Spider-Man storytelling goes. So they're not sacrificing anything.
Right, right. 100%
agree. So fix it and make it work for your fans. Well,
sell it they are, so we will keep our fingers crossed when Disney streaming comes around this fall. So
yay.
I'm excited.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
One last story we have here. We talked a while ago about the Alien Nation remake being coming around, I guess, and we were kind of surprised by that. But now Disney, now that they've wholly owned Fox, they are putting the brakes on and making Alienation not happen at the moment. So not sure why, but that's what's happened. They've paused the remake of Alienation.
I've never seen any of the Aliens, so it affects me very not at all.
I mean, I saw the first movie and I saw some of the series, but it was a good concept. Does it need to be revisited? I don't think so, but
it's already been beaten by,
I guess, you know, Disney doesn't think so either. So
yeah. It's been beaten by a dead horse, like, plenty of times already. So, look, they made a good choice not to beat it further.
Oh, well. Let's see here. In the What Were They Thinking Weekly, Lizzie, I don't know if you saw this story or not. I was surprised because I never heard of this franchise at all or this series at all. But I guess Netflix is producing a series, and they've got some casting news for something they're calling Slutty Teenage Bounty Hunters. I just want to get your reaction. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
I was surprised by this. I'm like, really? Now it's a comedy, so I imagine they're poking fun at this, and the title is part of the poking fun thing. But I was like, really? They have a show called Slutty Teenage Bounty Hunters? Okay, I guess so, but I'm not sure who thought that was a good idea and why they would use that going forward in this day and age.
Because I have a trust in Netflix that extends beyond a bullet point, I would say because of their production level and what I've seen from them and what I've come to love about them. Hearing it, just knowing it's a comedy, makes me be like, okay, it's probably going to be hilarious, because I think of Santa Clarita Diet and
right. If it's in that specifically, vein of stuff, you're right. It could be good.
Right. Right. And so for some reason, that's what the correlation for me is, that if it's any, although that got canceled, which devastates me because that show's amazing. Mm. But if it's in the vein of like the sort of very like visceral look at the thing through the lens of comedy, then it could be very funny. I take very big issue with the word slut in this 21st century. Like, that's not a real word to describe anything, like, really.
Right.
Right. You're either shaming a person for being open to having sex, or, you know, or you're calling yourself somebody who's scantily dressed the slut or slutty.
Right.
Right. Then it's judging or shaming. So to me, there's no reason to ever use that word.
Right. And, yeah, there's no room for that anymore. Right. And that's what kind of took me back when I heard the title. I'm like, really? Okay. I don't think we're using that word anymore, but okay. So,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, as I'm reading the story,
connotation.
Oh, good.
I think we're on a lag. Yeah, I think we're on a super big lag. I was going to say, if it has connotation to the story in the humor element, then maybe, because humor is one of the few things can speak truth to things like that. And I think humor is one of our best ways to sort of rip apart those sure. like sort of what do words mean and what do, you know, the reason that that comedians can make jokes about racism is that it's the best way to shed a light on it. Sometimes it's when you add humor, you're able to take those topics in a different way. So I don't know, that's giving it a lot of credit when maybe it doesn't earn it, because I don't know what it's about, but that's just my hot take.
I'll read you a little bit here. So it says, Maddie Phillips, she's done Supernatural and Lucifer, and Angelica Bette Fellini, she was in The Gifted, have scored lead roles in the Netflix comedy series Slutty Teenage Bounty Hunters. It says, in the series, 16-year-old fraternal twin sisters Sterling and Blair dive into the world of bail-skipping baddies by joining up with veteran bounty hunter So at the same time, you're still navigating the high stakes of teenage love and sex. It's like Sterling and Bear plan to excel in all the aforementioned extracurriculars despite the watchful eye of their buttoned-up community. So
I mean,
I don't get it, but it sounds like it might be funny. Depending on how they, like you said, depending on how they poke fun of themselves, this might be a good show to watch.
I'm just also like real tentative about the fact that they're using slutty and teenage in the same
vein here. Yep.
I'm not into just that as a title out there. Like, I'm going to need an entire paragraph below justifying your title whenever you've put this anywhere. So it better be on the poster and it better be in the press releases and every tweet
it's
better
like
say
they're
it.
Using it as a shock value thing. So
yeah,
that was why I thought it deserved to be the what were they thinking weekly treatment this week.
It was a good one. I think it's a good one. It brings up a valuable conversation for the word slutty or slut. Is it really a word we need to be using even in humor? But it also brings up a good point that humor can, you know, eviscerate hard topics. So I don't know.
It's a good one. So we will see. I think that brings us to the end of the episode, Lizzie. I think we managed to get this done in about an hour without Tim.
We did it.
So it's good. We did. This will be a fun episode to edit. We had a lot of issues with audio quality here and there. So I will be spending hours probably editing this episode.
I think you're playing fast and loose with the word fun for yourself, but
I am. So again, we'll do the closing here now. And Lizzie, I look for the names here. So I changed things up a little bit here since Tim's not with us.
I got you.
just wanted to point that out to you.
We should just leave silence in the spots where Tim was supposed to talk.
We could, yeah. No, we won't. But we'll just blame Tim for the bad. We'll blame Tim for the audio quality. There we go. Tim edit this episode.
Ooh, yes.
Okay, if anybody has any feedback for us, we'd love to hear from you guys. Best way to get a hold of us is to send an email. You can do it at randomchatter@randomchatter.com.
You can also find us online on Twitter. I'm at the TW. Where am I? I don't even know. I'm at TWT about Lizzie on Twitter. You should definitely send Lou a lot of gifts or gifs, whichever way you swing, of like wine, like something relaxing, because he's going to need it while he's editing this.
Yes,
and
I
will. Where can they send that to you, Lou?
You can send that to me at Lou Skywalker. That's Skywalker without the E.
And you should definitely tweet Tim at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's. All of the, all the GIFs, GIFs of Cersei being shamed in the square from Game of Thrones.
There you go.
Because he missed an episode. Just
that
kidding.
Works.
Don't do
that.
I miss episodes all the time. Don't do that. That's a bad precedent. And then you can also reach us as a network at Random Chatter on Twitter, as well as on Instagram. You can also find the hosts on Instagram. I'm at The Wonderful Thing About Lizzie, or my small shop is at Thrifty Duckling. Lou, where are you?
I am on Instagram. It's my name, Lou Secchi. I'm also on Instagram at Santiro.
And like I said, that I did a crossover over with Temple of Geek. That should be coming out this week. So definitely go give them some love while you're at it. And then you can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. Make sure to listen to all of the amazing offerings we have available there. Spread the word and leave reviews if you like what you hear. tell your friends, or leave reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play.
And of course, we'd love some financial support from you. We do love it when people support us on Patreon. If you go to randomchatter.com/Patreon, you'll find out all about that. And the most popular donation level for us right now is $1 a month, which gets you into our Discord server, which is another great way to interact with all the hosts. We do have a bunch of open channels for the shows and open channels for some of the things on there that you don't have to donate to. If you want to have more interaction with us and get more detailed stuff, we'd love it if you join us on the Discord as well. The public lobby and the show channels are all there for free. It's randomchatter.com/Discord. We now have merchandise, too. If you go over to our website, randomchatter.com/community, you'll be able to see the shop icon on there. And you can search for, we have t-shirts, we have hoodies, we have stickers, we have, you name it. We're getting into mugs and everything else. And more of our logos are going up there all the time. Right now we have Random Chatter, DC Talk, and Guardians of the MCU. So you can get your favorite shirt from your favorite show. And wear it proudly and show everybody else what you're listening to. The music you hear on this podcast is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly. Until next week, take care, everybody.